Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You gotta let this one cook. You gotta let that beat drop. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Josh Taylor back here with you after 54 weeks. It is good to be back. It's good to be talking to you here on a Sunday morning. We got the DMX tributes rolling, by the way, because Kel Burger A, by the way, is on the ones and twos. He's helping me out here. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I'm the rapper, he's the DJ. Shout out to people who got that reference. But Kale is the one dropping the DMX tributes. Why? Because he's here. B, because it's me. And C, because I said so. That's pretty much the bottom line. We got to talk about some football here. NFL draft is on the way. We are just days away. Weeks, if you will, from the NFL draft. One of my favorite times of the year. My next guest, I'm sure it's one of his favorite times of the year. Why? Because not only does he write about the Steelers for DK Pittsburgh Sports, but he also writes about Pitt football for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Also, you might have seen him on WPXI with some Steelers commentary. Also, you might have heard him on the Locked On Steelers podcast. He is, by the way, he's also a fellow City League alum. He's Chris Carter. He joins me right now on 93.7 The Fan. Chris, good morning, brother.
Man, cats don't know what it's going to be messing with a dog like me. Come on now.
Dude, I love it. I love it. BMX tributes all day long. This is how we get down. All right, Chris, we got to talk about the upcoming draft coming up. First things first, before we get to specific draft prospects, and we've heard a bunch of names bandied about, let me get this out of the way now, because there's always some discussion of, oh, well, the Steelers should do this. They should go get this guy. They should trade up and get this guy. They should trade back and get more picks and do this. Are we looking at a scenario, Chris, where trading up or trading down is both realistic or feasible? Let's start there.
Well, I think trading up is dangerous. This is we've been talking all offseason, or even ever since that Browns loss in the playoffs, we've been talking about how the Steelers have so many different needs at so many different positions, right? You know, they need to address the slot cornerback position because Mike Hilton's gone. They need to get another linebacker to pair with Devin Bush. They need to bolster their offensive tackle room. They need to get a new center to start over B.J. Finney, or at least push him, you know, to start in training camp. They need to get maybe another safety, maybe some defensive line depth. And of course, they need to get a starting running back, which is on my board, that's target number one, unless you find a superstar player at another position. So there's a bunch of needs. Now, the thing is that this year's draft, Josh, there are a lot of guys who look to fall to those second and third rounds that I think could be immediate help in a lot of those positions. So if you trade up, you're most likely giving up one of the picks that's going to help you fill one of those spots. But if you trade back, you're most likely getting another one. So unless something crazy happens, I've seen some people project that Justin Fields is going to fall to the 20s. That would be different. Like, Justin Fields, I feel, is the legit number two quarterback of this class. I've even some say that he's actually the number one, but he won't get picked as the number one. If something crazy like that, him or Micah Parsons or Caleb Farr, that would be different. But by and large, if not one of those superstars falls to you, either you feel comfortable at picking, Najee Harris or Travis Etienne or Javonte Williams at 24, or you say, hey, you know what? No running back's been picked yet. we'll trade back a little bit further in the first round, maybe with the Buccaneers to go down to the last pick of the first round, and we'll take whatever running back's still there, and then hopefully you get another second round or third round pick, and then that bolsters, you know, the rest of that helps you get it. So then you get four picks in the first three rounds, and you got an extra shot at someone who's going to contribute right away next year. So trading back a lot more realistic to me than trading up this year.
All right. With that said, you talked about a specific situation with the running back position. So let's get further into that, because I got a handful of names here I want to throw at you, and I want you to tell me if these guys seem like realistic options for the Steelers with the 24th overall pick. And the one we've heard probably more than anything is Najee Harris, running back from Alabama. Does this make sense to you at 24?
Oh, it makes a ton of sense. Najee Harris is a guy who fits all the needs at running back. You know, he's not just your big back. He is athletic. He hurdles people. He makes people miss in space. He reads. His vision is probably the best vision of this class when it comes to dissecting, you know, what's happening in a defense. His quickness, you know, to make a decision and get, like, when it reminds me sometimes, like, some of the cuts that I saw him make were cuts that I saw Le'Veon Bell make for the Steelers for years, and when he was on the team. So having him, and he catches the ball well. Like, that's something that I think that people don't talk about enough, is that there were times he lined up outside the numbers for Alabama, and he made plays for them, and he showed a decent catch radius. Like, and that was something that he kind of got mad on the Adam Schefter podcast when Todd McShay was saying, well, he improved his receiving ability. He's like, dog, I play on a team with Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Suggs and Ruggs and all these other guys that I've had superstars. Why do you think they would even throw to me? Like, you know, they got all these superstars at Alabama, but when they actually did, you saw that I was talented. So his argument, he's always been talented there. So to me, he's the clear RB1 of this board. He does everything you need him to do. He'll also help in pass protection on occasion with Ben, but he's a three-down back. You draft him, and your running game is going to be boosted immediately. You know, I was going over stats when, you know, I wrote an article about B.J. Finney and how he could actually help more than people think this weekend on DKPittsburghSports.com, and that one's free, so go check that one out on the website if you get a chance. But, you know, I was looking at numbers, and people forget that of 13 starts that B.J. Finney had for the Steelers, they won 11 of them. And they averaged over 120 yards on the ground in those games. But when I looked at the difference, when Le'Veon Bell was playing in those years, they averaged 172 yards per game when he was starting and B.J. Finney was starting. When he wasn't playing and B.J. Finney was starting, that number dropped to 96 yards per game. So when people say running backs don't matter and things like that, that to me is just, I think it's short-sighted, and it doesn't look at the fact that, yes, when you have a dynamic back, they can make all the world of difference. And that's the thing. People look like, well, he's not the person you build your team around. Okay, yeah, but when you're like the Steelers and you have all these defensive weapons and you got a quarterback that you know that you trust for at least another year and you got all this receiver talent and you got all this young talent, why not get the running back who's going to both help Ben Roethlisberger finish his career and balance out the offense and be maybe the dominant ground presence that helps whatever new quarterback comes in next year or 2 years down the line.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chris Carter, DKPittsburghSports.com. Also on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Plus, you might have seen him doing his thing on WPXI. Talks a lot of football here and there. Writes about it. Talks about it on podcasts. He does it all. Kind of reminds me of myself. Joins me right now on 93.7 The Fan. You broke it down to the ground talking about the running back position with Najee Harris, so I'll jump straight to offensive line. I got two names written down here. Tevin Jenkins, an offensive tackle for Oklahoma State, and then Landon Dickerson, a guy from Alabama who was blocking for Najee Harris a lot of the time during this past season. Between these two guys, which one fits better for you for the Steelers?
I mean, they both would be a great fit. Tevin Jenkins, mean offensive tackle. Like, the way that he buries people, you love it, his aggression. I'm not so sure he's the pick at 24, but I'm also not so – I don't think there's any chance that he falls to them at 55. And this is, again, 55 being their second-round pick. But this, again, is why trading back could really work, because say you trade back and you get, like, you know, the 29th pick or the 32nd pick or, you know, or an early pick in the second round. This would give you – you probably also get another pick earlier in the second round. So then you could get your running back with that first pick. And then if Tevin Jenkins is still hanging around there with that, with the pick that you just got in the early part of the second round, then you go get him there as well. But I also – I love Landon Dickerson. The only thing I hesitate about Landon Dickerson, I know he did cartwheels on TV and he's looking healthy now, but I'm just a little alarmed by the fact that he had four of his five seasons in college football, and he had, you know, significant injuries in each of them. So as much as I mean, he's a baller. Like, when he's on, he is on, and it's clear he's a leader for his team, and people look up to him. Like, he, if I could talk to God and be like, hey, God, is Landon Dickerson going to have the same kind of injury luck in the NFL, and I knew that he was good, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, get him right now. But we don't have those abilities. So, I would say if I picked one, it would be Tevin. But man, Landon is so tempting, because he would be, if you draft him and he's healthy, you know, going into the season, and you know that he could be healthy for, you know, for a full career in the NFL, I think the Steelers would love to have him, and he'd be the next great Steelers center, I think, for the next decade or so.
All right, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. I got a couple names written down that have been kind of bandied about. I think they're interesting. One of them is a candidate that you hear his name more or less as an acronym. It's more or less J-O-K as in hearing his full name. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I know I screwed that up, but Koramoah out of Notre Dame. No, the Steelers actually saw him at his pro day. He's talked with them. What about J-O-K?
Well, you also got to remember he's from that part of Virginia that Mike Tomlin is from, so there's going to be a little bit of a connection there too. But the only thing with Owusu-Koramoah that I don't like is how kind of he's not as stout taking on blocks. And I love the idea of adding to, you know, a partner for Devin Bush to play the middle of the field that allows them to cover the entire pass, but I would want a guy who's a little bit better against the run. Because Owusu-Koramoah, when you watch some of his tape, he can hit a, when it's one on one, he can hit a running back and take him down. He can make those type of plays. But when it comes to working against an offensive lineman who's getting a clean shot at him, he looks a little less confident. He's not as bulky in those moments. Now, he bulked up for his pro day, which was great to see. But I'm a little hesitant on him, because I'm not sure how he fit with Devin Bush, because Devin Bush is already sideline to sideline, let me cover guys all over the field type of fast. It'd be good to have another guy who can do that and have that kind of speed, but you also want a guy who's going to be a little bit stronger and say, hey, this way Devin can be, you know, you can help keep Devin clean if they're running up the middle, and you can take out a guard, but we can also ask you to, hey, go cover the flat over there with that running back or you know, plaster yourself to this tight end who's trying to run the seam. So Owusu-Koramoah, great for the pass defense. I'm a little sketchy on the run defense, though. But, I mean, hey, he's a heck of an athlete. If the Steelers got him, they'd be one of the faster defenses in the middle of the field in the NFL.
All right, let's look at the edge position, because it's one of the positions that's going to be of need. Because right now, when it comes to edge guys, the Steelers have like two or three guys. They need more bodies at the edge position. What about Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia?
So I like him, but not in the first round. That's the problem with edge this year, Josh, is first and second round, I don't see the Steelers going edge. Now, you know, unless a guy falls to the second that you're like, whoa, can't pass that up, that's a different story. Or, again, if you trade back and you get an extra pick and you're thinking, okay, well, we can get our center or our running back or our tight end or whatever else you think you have and get this guy, that's a different story. But first round, this isn't the best edge class in the NFL, but – I'd be interested in the third round. If you get a guy that I cover at Pitt, Rashad Weaver, if he falls down there and you've already either gotten your running back and a linebacker or a center, that'd be really tempting, because you don't want to get a starter on the edge. You got Alex Highsmith. You're presuming he's going to be a starter. You drafted him just for that reason last year. You got T.J. Watt, arguably the best edge in the NFL right now. You just need depth. But you want good depth, because you don't have any good depth right now that you're like, hey, that guy's going to contribute right away. So I'd wait until the third or fourth round and look at some of those guys later in the draft. But certainly, they do need to address that position.
Chris Carter, DKPittsburghSports.com, Locked On Steelers podcast. You can also watch him, WPXI, talking about Steelers football. Chris, one of the movies I've seen recently that I've been able to watch while being, you know, holed up at home is One Night in Miami. And my mind recalls to One Night on the North Shore that a few of us had a while back. We need to bring those back. I'm looking forward to having one of those again soon. Good to talk to you again, brother.
Same here, Josh, man, and congratulations on the kid.
Appreciate you, man. Good to talk to you. Chris Carter, always good stuff from Chris. Always.